The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open today to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we leave chapter 8 in our study of the Christian and personal relationships to begin today with the Christian and ministerial relationships, that relationship between the minister and the members of the local church. Find your place in 1 Corinthians 9. We'll begin reading with verse number 1 after a word of prayer. Father, we come now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to preach on the air. I pray, Father, for the listeners, that you would strengthen their hearts by the word of God. I ask you to inform that poor sinner today that they would see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior, as he is the only way to heaven and the only satisfactory propitiation before the Lord. I ask now our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Now Paul is continuing to answer questions, and now he begins to make an appeal to the Corinthian believers, and he asks them to consider the calling of God's servant. We see Paul and his mission. Am I not an apostle? The obvious answer is yes. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, chosen of the Lord, set apart and sent out by the church in Antioch. Then he says, am I not free? This is Paul and his passion. Paul was Christ's free man. He was a happy slave of the Lord Jesus. He was at liberty in the Lord and lived as a bondslave in the will of God. He asks another question. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Here is Paul and his vision. No doubt that requirement of seeing the Lord to be an apostle was fulfilled in Paul's life as he traveled along the Damascus Road, and he came to see his need and was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ. That story is recorded in Acts 9, verses 1 through 17. And from then on, Paul had a vision of the living Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke from heaven. His life was lived to please the Savior. Not only the calling of God's servant, but the coming of God's servant. Paul says, "Are not ye my work in the Lord?" In other words, the Lord had worked among them, and he had done it as Paul had witnessed among them. Look again to verse 2. "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you." Paul said, "I may not be an apostle to someone else, but if I am to anyone, it is to the church of God which is at Corinth. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." There is the appeal. Now the answer to those that do examine him is contained in verses 3 through 23. We do not have time to finish all of these verses today, but let me give you an overview. Apparently, some were examining the Apostle Paul. They were questioning his apostleship. He therefore gives them an answer. Verse 3. "Mine answer to them that do examine me is this." We see, first of all, the servant of God and his provision. Verses 3 through 15. Then, beginning with verse 16 and running down through verse 23, we see the servant of God and his preaching. That brings us to the analogy, where Paul pictures a runner in a race, and there's a prize to obtain. Therefore, there's a price to pay. There's a place to avoid. But now for the answer. Look back to verse number 4. We gave you the plea of the minister in verse 3. Now the power of the minister. This power is always to be used in a sensible way, and must never be used to devour nor abuse God's people. Paul will explain this power in verses 4 through 6, and then he will illustrate it in verse number 7. Verse 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" And so Paul is here giving reasons that the minister should be financially supported. The right of his financial support is defended. It must be a sensible power. There are the necessary things, Paul says, power to eat and to drink in verse number 4. There are the natural things that also must be provided for. Family, verse number 5. Finances, verse number 6. But then there are the notable things. These are the illustrations. He mentions the soldier. He mentions the one who sows and plants a vineyard. He mentions the shepherd who feeds the flock. The soldier, the sower, the shepherd, notable occupations in that day for sure. Should they not be provided for? Who goes to war at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and does not partake of the fruit? Who waters, feeds, and leads the flock and cannot partake of the milk? The obvious answer is no one. It is unscriptural. It is unsensible to expect the man of God to give forth the spiritual things of the word of the Lord and not partake of the carnal things. That is, be provided for financially in the natural realm. And so a sensible power is backed up and now proven to be a scriptural power. In verse 8, Paul was speaking in agreement with God's word. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Then he speaks in application of God's word. Verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. What is written is for our sakes. God's word should be given its proper place in our lives. A question here should be asked, and may it be answered as well. Are we living by the book? What is written is for our learning and for our living. A sensible power, a scriptural power to forbear working and be provided for according to the people of God and their offerings for the man of God. But then it is a shared power. In verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Now, as we get down through the chapter, verse 14 specifically, this power, the right of financial support, comes from God's own ordination, and it must be received humbly and then returned abundantly to those who are used to bestow this blessing upon the Christian minister. The people to whom we minister have the right to reap spiritual blessings and benefits from God's man as he diligently sows spiritual things to the congregation on a consistent basis. Now, we see in our day, among many pulpits, there is a lack of power. And I believe in many studies, there is a lack of preparation. And I believe in many closets, there is a lack of prayer. Oh, that there would not be a lack of provision. And where there is financial provision, may that preacher study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.